I like to have my hands free. I'm a hand stalker. Oh, you made it in. Oh, there's my daughter from Texas you guys been praying for. Stand up back there, Cindy. Jerry, why don't you stand up and look at my daughter? You ask about her every day. Thank you, brother. Prays for him every Sunday. He wants to know how Cindy's doing, and we thank you for that. Thank you. Anyway, her and my granddaughter, Evan, and my grandson, I think I see back there, my little big man. He's my buddy, my pal. And anyway. All right. Y'all seen this picture? Can you see it good? I want to ask you a question. You're going to tell your age probably, but how many of you guys, when you were small and wanted to play baseball on a baseball team, how many of you had to endure that? Y'all? Remember? All right. And then you get to the top knot, and the guy on the top got to choose what team he was going to get. For some reason, I guess because I was a little bitty guy, very small when I was younger, I got blossomed in age. But never got taller, I just got bigger. I didn't get chosen very, very quick. I was always a little bit later. You know, everybody would pick their team. It'd be Roger, it'd be Gary, or it'd be, you know, Billy Bob, or whoever it was that we was playing with. It'd generally be about 15 of us kids together, and you're always standing around waiting on singing, when am I going to get the chance? When am I going to be picked? Who's going to put me on their team? Funny, I thought about this last Sunday when Sam was preaching on the blood of Christ. And I thought, aren't you glad that him and Satan don't do that? And every time, you know, they go through this, oh, well, there's Bob. I got him. No, you didn't get him. I got him. No, I got him. But anyway, we sometimes go through lives in our lives and we try to wonder, where in the world are we going to fit into the situation? Next slide, Rich. You can't see this one very good, I can promise you. Hopefully you can figure out what that is. Anybody know what that is? It's a jigsaw puzzle. Just so you know, I'll read this on the bottom for you, thejigsawpuzzle.com. That is one of my favorite websites in the entire world. I'm not as addicted as I used to be. Every day I would go out and I would do jigsaw puzzles online. Now I do 100-piece classics. This is a 50-piece classic. But I really want to show you this because sometimes if you look at pieces, everything is a jargled mess. Things don't really look like they ought to fit into something. And so next slide, Rich. All right, so here is the results of that puzzle. Can you see the lines in between the pieces there? I put that up there for one reason. Sometimes when we're in church, in our Christian lives, we start to wonder about what piece of the puzzle are we? And we kind of get this distinction that maybe we're more important than any other piece. Maybe I should be something different than the piece that I've been selected to be, and therefore my piece is a little bit better than yours. I've got some news for you here today. The Twin Lakes Baptist Church building is nothing but a building that can be sold as real estate. Does anybody agree with that statement? Do you know who the body of Christ is? We are the body of Christ. Now, we're like that picture just before. Sometimes we're a jargled mess and we don't know exactly where every piece fits. And sometimes you're one of those pieces of the puzzle and you're starting to ask yourself the question, where do I fit in and what is it meant for me to be? But let me tell you something. This is one of those situations where everybody fits in to the puzzle. So if we go back to this picture right here, I wanted to give you the finished results. And I tried it last night at home. I did this picture at the office, and my computer's a little newer, and I forgot how I did it. So I got home last night, and I wanted to put that puzzle piece in there. And if I put that puzzle piece in there, those lines that you see all magically disappear. And it all becomes one gorgeous little picture. Now, this is a boy, by the way, not a girl. I thought it was a girl because it reminded me of one of the girls who used to go to church here. when I saw it. But it's a dirty-faced little boy, and it could very well be me. But it's a picture. When that picture comes together and that last piece of that puzzle is inserted into that picture, that line disappears, and it just becomes a beautiful picture of a little child. Paul teaches us in Corinthians and in Romans that we are the body of Christ, and we are rightly divided with separate missions and gifts. I look at a lot of people sitting here today. A lot of people. And I want to ask you this question. Next slide. Where do I fit in? And what am I called to do? In Corinthians 2nd chapter, in Corinthians 12th chapter, I want to read this. I want to read the last few verses because the whole chapter could be read. For as the body is one and has many members, but not all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, but also is Christ. For by one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, whether we were Jews or Greeks, whether we were slaves or free, and all have all been made to drink into one Spirit. For in fact the body is not one member, but many. If the foot should say, because I am not a hand, I am not the body, is it therefore not of the body? And if the ear should say, because I am not an eye, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where would be the hearing? If the whole body were hearing, what would be the smelling? But now God has set the members, each one of them, in the body, just as he pleased. And if they were all one member, where would the body be? But now, indeed, there are many members, yet one body. And the eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you, nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. No, much rather, those members of the body which seem to be weaker are necessary, and those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, on these we bestow great honor, and our unpresentable parts have greater modesty. But our presentable parts have no need. But God composed the body, having been given greater honor to that part which lacks it, that there should be no schism or division in the body, but that the members should have the same care one for another. And if one member suffers, all the members suffer with it. Or if one member is honored, all the members rejoice with it. Now, you are the body of Christ and members individually. And God has appointed these in the church: first apostles, second prophets, third teachers, after that miracles, then gifts of healing, helps, administrations, variety of tongues. Are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Are all workers of miracles? Do all have gifts of healing? Do all speak with tongues? Do all interpret? But honestly desire the best gifts, and yet I show you a more excellent way. And he launches in to the gift of love. I want to ask you a question. What's your calling? Next slide. I'm going to show you about three or four slides here, and I want you to take a look at these, because here's what I find in the Word. See if I can keep up with myself. Romans 12:6-8 says, you're having these gifts: prophecy, serving, teaching, exhortations, giving, leadership, mercy. 1 Corinthians 12:8-10, words of wisdom, faith, miracles, discernment, interpreters of tongues, word of knowledge, gifts of healing, prophecy, and tongues. 1 Corinthians 12:28-30, which we just read. Apostles, prophets, miracles, teachers, kinds of healings, helps, and ministration. And Ephesians 4:1 says this: apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers. And the list goes on and on and on. Now, Paul says that we are all members of one body, but we all have different functions in life, and we all have different responsibilities. And as here I am standing here before you, because I've told you, sometimes we're chosen to do things that we don't want to do. Sometimes we're required to do things, tasks that we don't want to perform it. And sometimes we're called to do things that we absolutely love. I will tell you, people say, do you like to preach? I said, no. I love to preach. I just feel a need to preach. A preacher that is called feels the need to speak. And whether it's on his Sunday school class or it's on a preaching at a pulpit in a church, he has to have that speech. There are people that have to say something, which I am, and people that have something to say, which sometimes I am not. But we are these kind of people, and we are called according to the purpose that God gives us. Back when I was a young man of about 22 years old, I had no idea that God would call me to the ministry to preach. In fact, I ran from that like I'd been beaten with a club, because that's not what I wanted to do. That wasn't what I felt I was called to do. I was called to be a singer, and so I was singing all the time. Well, then all of a sudden, God took all the singing appointments away from me and made me preach. So I decided, well, maybe I'm not called to be a singer. I'm called to be a preacher. So I started preaching, and God opened up the doors, and I was singing everywhere. Because he was telling me, whatever you want to be is what I want you to be the most. He was trying to explain to me, Daryl, I know that you like to sing, and I know that you like to preach. I know you like to talk, but I also know that you have something to do for me that other people are not called to do. And a lot of people are not called to preach. Everybody wants to be the preacher. No? You really don't want to be the preacher? Ron Wallace, you tell me that all the time at work. I want your job. Oh, it's not this job. It's the other job. Okay. So everybody is not called to be a preacher. So what are you called for? Have you ever sat down and actually thought about what you're called to be? Everybody, now here's some gifts that I didn't put on my list. The gift of gab. I've got a kid that has the gift of gab. And when we turn her loose, she can talk faster than any kid I ever had. She can say more in just a few minutes than most people can say in hours. She has a gift of gab. Now, there is the gift of gossip. I know people, unfortunately, some of them very close, that have a gift of gossip, telling all the things that are bad about people around the church or around the city or around town, around the country. They have that gift of gossip. I know people that have a gift of lying. It is an ability to tell a lie with a straight face and think you're telling the truth. But you've lied so many times you forgot what lie you told to make up for the lie you just said. I don't remember finding these anywhere in the Bible, that these are gifts that are given to people to have. Because they do not do good works for Christ, and they do not elevate Christ to the standard that he needs to be elevated. Our job is to elevate the name of Jesus Christ above all names. It is to make people understand that we have things that need to be done, and Jesus Christ is the only answer to all the problems in all the world. Now, a lot of people laugh at that and say, oh, you got to be joking me. I'm telling you, I'm not joking. Jesus is the answer to every problem in every place at every time, all the way from history's beginning until today and until the end of time. Jesus Christ is the answer. Otherwise, he wouldn't have said it himself. I am the truth. I am the way. I'm the life. I am everything that you really need to have in your life. So let me ask you this, and we're going to go through this, because I want you to start evaluating in your life, what am I called to be? What is my job in the church? Because I'm telling you right now, you have something to do for Jesus Christ. He doesn't love me any better than he likes Dwayne Hayda. And he doesn't love Dwayne Hayda any more than he likes me. But Dwayne has a calling that he's following and doing, because that's what God stuck inside him. I have a calling, and I have something I need to do, because that's what's stuck inside to me. Jerry Hopper, When you watch him up here at the piano and you listen to him sing, what's his calling? Music. Music calms a savage beast. That's why the music service is first. When you come into church on Sunday morning and you're roaring like a lion Your wife just told you your feet stunk and your clothes were unruly, and you're a beast coming in here, and that's what Jerry's job is. That's what Kim and Gary's job is to calm the savage beast. But he has a calling. And Jerry knows what his calling is. Every time he sits down at that piano and starts tinkling with the ivies, every time he picks up a guitar and starts strumming a different chord, every time he gets a piece of paper and a pencil and starts writing out a different verse, something that God just put into his mind, he has a calling. He knows what it is. What's yours? I'm going to tell you, I sat in the church for a lot of years and had no idea what I was called to be. And some of you are sitting here today and you don't have a clue what your calling is in life. We have a guest back here. This is Jennifer's mother and father and a nephew, Trey. They're back here in the back. Her name is Reverend Brenda Rowe. And she's been a pastor, minister for 45 years in the Baptist Church. Does she know what her calling is? I guarantee it. Someone somehow woke her up and said, "Hey, Miss Brenda, this is what you need to do with your life." And let me tell you something, folks. To be a pastor or be a preacher is not one of the most glamorous things that ever happened to your life. You deal with everybody else's problems. You got problems of your own, but you deal with everybody else's. That's why it's great for Sam and for Coach to get away from the church for a little while, from the body of Christ. Not, and from this building, and get away from it and just rest a little bit and recuperate, because they have everything that your problems are dumped on their shoulders. Pastors, preachers, teachers. So you ask me, how do I find out then what to do? Next slide. Boy, I put off a little text in there. I'm sorry. 2 Timothy tells us to study to show ourselves approved, a workman, rightly dividing the word of truth. And basically, I would go on to say, so that we will know what God has planned for us. You know, when I first started preaching, I'll be honest with you, I didn't have a whole lot of knowledge about what I was preaching about. And so it took a long time getting into the Word of God and studying and learning things and developing things. I took Bible study courses online, not online, because folks, we didn't have internet when I first started preaching. That was not a lie, it was just a mistruth. Huh? Y'all remember those days when you didn't have internet? Don't you wish we didn't have internet? But I took Bible study courses through CDs, cassette tapes. Kids, now what that is, so you'll know what a cassette tape is. It's a little thing like this. It goes into a recorder and it plays. That's a cassette tape. Most of you have never seen one and don't have a clue what it is. And I didn't even have CDs, because we didn't have CDs in 1970-something. Did we? No. But I had to get down and get dirty and learn what I was talking about. The church, the body of Christ, and what it all takes. And I'm telling you, if you want to find out where you belong, the best place to find the answer is in the book. Is in the book. I have had several occasions in my lifetime, even after we come to this church, to have people tell me what I needed to do. They came along and said, "Daryl, I think you should do this." Let me tell you something. If God wants me to do something, God will tell me, "Daryl, I want you to do this." He doesn't need you to come along and tell me, okay? And there was times that that's happened in my life. But you got to study. You got to find out where you belong. You got to read the scripture and learn what every one of these things is. Understand what a gift is. We all have talents. Everybody here has a certain talent. It is a God-given ability that you were born with. And don't look at me and say, "I don't have any abilities. I don't have any talents." Because I'm going to tell you, you're lying. You're lying to yourself, and you're lying to God. Because God did not make you inferior. He made you with something inside of you that's better than anybody else. You may be a Michelangelo or a Picasso and not even know it yet because you're afraid to pick up a paintbrush. Dwayne Hayter says, by the way, I can teach anybody how to paint. I heard him say that once. But here's the deal. What are you called to do? Learn it. Figure it out. And the things most important are those things that are listed in the scriptures. And I just gave you four places of scripture for you to read and find out what the ministries of God are. Now, everybody gets hung up on chapter 12 of 1 Corinthians because it talks about that nasty one of tongues. But don't worry about that. Go on with the greater things that God has given us, the ability to do things that need to be done because the body can't function. I wish Mike was here today. Glennis is back there. The body can function. Even sometimes when the legs don't work, right? Or the legs are gone. The body can function without an arm, without a hand, without fingers, without a tongue, without eyes, without ears or hearing. But the church cannot. Because the body of Christ is so set up that it has to have all of those parts. And if you've obeyed God, then you fit into that part that He gave you to be. Sometimes I would like to be a big toe because I would like to be covered up and shut up. But a big toe, without one, you have a hard time balancing yourself when you walk. You know, right? So learn the scriptures. You guys in college, you know, I bless you. And I bless God that God lets you do these things, but you need to find out where you belong, even in the ministry. Secondly, you need to look at the bigger shape of yourself. Now, this is spiritual gifts, heart, your God-given passion and interest. How do I find out where I fit in? What touches you the most? What gets to you when nothing else does? The call, foster parenting, adoption, working with people that... My mother is 92 years old, and bless her heart. I think about 30 years ago, she came up to me and she said, son, well, it wasn't that long ago. She said, son, I wished I had a talent like yours. What? I wished I could sing. And she has 4 children that sing. 4. Now, you know what I told my mama? I'll give you my singing for your mercy. I'll trade you my singing for her gift of mercy. Our pastor has the best gift of mercy of anybody I've ever seen. Next to my mother. Because when someone hurts and someone's in pain and someone's lost a child or a relative or a family, my mother knows what to say and when to shut up. And she may have sat with a family for hours and never speak a word, but her presence is what is important. She knows that because that's the passion she has in her heart. You have to check by the abilities that God gives you, the ability to do things that we talked about earlier. The personality that you have will help you find a place to work in the church and part of the body that you need. Now listen to me. I am not asking you to start doing all kinds of stuff for the church. I'm asking you for finding your place in the body of Christ. Not the church, the body of Christ. Where you belong. And the experiences, positive and negative, and how you react to them going through life. Now, I'm telling you, Sam said about me and Carolyn, we have been through a lot in our married life. And I'm telling you, we have. We have lost family, brothers, sisters. We have lost mothers, fathers. We have lost a son. We have lost people through our whole lives. But you know what? Our experience helps us to have a nursing and a nurturing attitude for people like that. So find out what that experience is. Then you want to go talk to somebody that's wiser than you are. Now, I guarantee you, Sam Bailey probably talked to his mother before he decided to be a preacher. If he didn't, boy, she probably gave him some trouble for that. But here's something you need to understand. You younger people, you need to remember that we have been through the fire. We talked about in our Sunday school class this morning that as we grow older, we experience things and we learn things. But you know what? I've always found out that I look at someone and I say to them, you know what? You really have a knack for this. You really have an ability that I've not seen in some people before. Maybe it's just an ability to communicate with someone that's having drug problems or alcohol problems or something of that nature, or dealing with people that need foster children or have foster children in their home. There are people that have that ability. Wise people make wise decisions. The man that has a fool for friends is a fool himself. And so what we're trying to find out is we go to these people that are wiser and older and have more experience than we do, and there's nothing wrong with sitting down with an old sage in the church, and there's a lot of us here. Now, I'm not one, but there's a lot of sages here. That means people that have got experience and knowledge and know what they're looking for and know what to look for in you, and ask them, what do you think? What do you feel? Maybe they're not going to tell you what you need to do, but they're going to give you some suggestions. Wise believers can often spot your strength even before you do. They may see a spark in you that you miss. They may be able to offer a direction for you to take. One of the things that I've learned in life is listen to people that have been there before. Because, folks, they didn't go through trials and troubles and problems for no reason. They didn't go there because that's just what they wanted to do. This is what they went through life on, and life has helped them learn important things. Ask the big question. This is a question that you, if you want to decide what you need to do or what you think you should do for the Lord, ask yourself this one question. If there was absolutely nothing to constrain me for doing this for God, if it was not a financial issue, if there was not a time constraint, if there was not problems that would cause this, if I had that opportunity, if I knew I had that wealth, I had that time, I had that, what would I want to do for Jesus Christ? What would I want to do? What would I want to do for Jesus Christ if nothing got in the way or can stop me from doing it? You ask that question, and you'll find your answer. Because that's where the answer lies. It lies in the fact that you want to do something for Jesus Christ, and there's something out there that you need to be able to do without exception. If you could do anything for God you wanted, knowing that there was nothing to hold you back, that you had all the resources you needed, that you had no time constraints, what would make you happy to do for God? I didn't do that sentence very good, but that's what it means. Then, jump in with both feet. We sing a song in our quartet that says, wade into the water. Wade into the water. What did Jesus tell Moses, basically? Just trust me. Just get in the water. Get in the water. Sometimes we have to jump in. We're kind of thinking about what we want to do. We kind of have a thought about what we want to do. What we really would like to do is sit on a couch and watch the television, or we would like to do something else. But what do we really want to do for Jesus Christ? So sometimes you say, well, I'd really like to try that. Well, just try it. God never crucified somebody for trying something and failing that I know of. I cannot find that in the scripture anywhere. He has always said that he always loves a cheerful giver, or someone that puts their time and effort into things that need to be done. So you put your feet out. Left foot, right foot first, it makes no difference which one you use, but you put your feet out and you start trying to do what you think God wants you to do. It may not be that, but it's not going to hurt. It may not be exactly what you think you want to do, and God may not bless it like you want him to bless it, because he always wants to bless those things. But you got to be able to just take a chance, step it out, and try something different. Try different things. Try new ministries, even if you don't think you will like them. They came to me, I think it was 13 years ago, and asked me to teach the seniors department. Now, in the seniors department, I think I'm a little younger than the average age. But when I joined the seniors department to teach a class, I had some of the I had some of the Bible thumpers like you didn't believe. I mean, I had Dr. Walker, I had Gary Averill. If any of you remember Gary Averill, I had people in there that knew the scriptures upside down, backwards, forwards. And here I am, they say, I want you to teach the seniors department. And I prayed about it, and I decided that that's what I'd do. But that's not what I wanted to do. I want to do something else. But you know what? I've been there for 13 years, and I haven't missed too many Sundays. I don't get a reward for being there every day, but I found something that I could do. It's to teach and preach the gospel of Jesus Christ to a group of, my Sunday school class was bigger than my first church. And so I found somewhere that I could fit in and do something. I tried it, and I'm still there. Serve in as many capacities as you can, but do not get yourself so strung out you're no worthy good. Don't try to do everything, because somebody else is going to do that. You're going to take somebody else's job, and then somebody's going to be mad at you. Find the one thing that's meant for you. Stay in the Spirit as you serve, and listen for God's call. Let me tell you something. I think this is our biggest problem in the church today. Listen. Everybody just sit real quiet. Shut your eyes for just a second. Just close your eyes. Listen. God speaks to us when we are quiet. God speaks to us when we shut up and let him talk. My gift of gab girl back there, if I want to get her attention, you know what the best thing for me to do is? Whisper. Whisper. The Bible tells us that they went up into the mountains looking for God. They searched in the storm. They searched in the lightning. They searched in the thunder. And then one day they heard that still, small voice of God saying, here I am. Here I am. Listen, and he will tell you. And last, you got to be on the team to start with. You can't serve if you don't belong. Not to the church. Do not get me wrong. I am not talking about belonging to Twin Lakes Baptist Church. I am talking about belonging to the body of Christ. How do we get there? Remember Sam's sermon last week? We get there by the blood of Jesus Christ. And if you're sitting out here today and you don't have Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, if you don't have him right here, if you haven't given yourself up to Jesus Christ, if you haven't taken that moment in your life and said, God, I surrender all, I'll take Jesus, I surrender all. To him I freely give. Trust him. If you're there at that point, then you can't serve. You can't serve. You can do all kinds of manly stuff, and you can do all kinds of earthly things, but you can't serve God in the way that God wants you to serve until you're God's, until you belong to him. It took me a long time to realize that I can have Jesus Christ as my personal Savior. But until I make him the Lord of my life, only then can I really fully serve him the way he wants me to do. Now, a lot of you are sitting out here today and you're saved. Great. I love it. But have you let Jesus Christ completely take over your life? When you got saved, the Bible says, and you received the gift of the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit comes into us so that he can live in us. I don't know how this thing works, but I know it works. That when we feel, when we have him inside of us and we are led by him, then we can serve God in the right way. We can serve God in the calling that we need. We can serve God in the place that he needs us. Maybe you're just a ring finger. Maybe you're a thumb. God said in through Paul, but the most least of the people are as necessary as the greatest. I think the greatest people are those that are on their knees and praying for the body of Christ. They're hid. We went out to look at a house one time, and I went in, we was in the bedroom looking around, and opened the door to the bathroom, a half bath and a closet. And man, I mean, there was a list on the door. A double list. I mean, this thing was, the list was this long, double columned. And I thought, and I wouldn't even, I didn't want to go in the bathroom. I didn't want to go in there. And I said to the lady, I said, your prayer closet? She said, yes. This is where I come to pray. This is my sanctuary. So I didn't go in. Annette Bailey has one of those, by the way. A sanctuary that she goes in to pray for us, all of us. Maybe this, you're just a prayer warrior. Just a prayer warrior. Maybe you're just a prayer warrior. Maybe you're just a custodian. Maybe you're just a Sunday school teacher. Maybe you're just a driver of the carts. Maybe you're just on the sheepdogs. Maybe you just work in the nursery with the kids. Maybe what? You're just? You know what I hate more than anything? Is for people to come in up to me and say, I'm just a CNA. I hate that. I say, no, you're not. You're a CNA. You're an LPN. You're an RN. Get on this, sister. Get on this, brother. This is what you are. I'm just a prayer warrior. You're a prayer warrior. You're a getter for God. You lift up everybody. You hold up the church. You pull them all together. You're just a prayer warrior. If that's all you are, praise God for you. We can't all be preachers. We can't all be teachers. We can't all be pastors. We can't all be evangelists. We have a mission. Preach the gospel of Jesus Christ to all the nations and baptize and reteach and teach again and keep on teaching. That's all of us. But some of us get to do it with a microphone in our ear and we get to sing once in a while. That's not any better. I would rather sometimes just be on my knees and pray for people. If you're not saved, I got to end, guys. You're going to be late for the buffet. If you're not saved, I'm going to tell you, guys, I'm going to tell you this. If you're not saved, you are missing out on life. Man, I love Jesus. I love being a Christian. I love living for God. I love taking orders from the boss. I love staying with him. I love preaching for him. I love speaking for him. I love walking for him. I love kneeling for him. I love doing anything for him as long as I can do it. I love that. I would miss it. How do you get by without Jesus? How do you make it without Christ? How do you make it without forgiveness of your sins and the glory that Jesus brings to you? How do you make it to heaven? You don't. That's how. And if you're not saved, this may be your only chance. I told you this before. I'll tell you again. I'm driving down the highway up to Jeff City to see my sister. And in my rearview mirror, I see two cars hit head on. And they're moving. And I did about face. I turned and went back, and I was the first one to the accident. I went to one car, and both people were already dead. You could just tell. I went over to the second car, and there's a lady, and she's crushed between the seat and her steering wheel, and she's barely breathing. She's having a hard time breathing. And I opened the door as much as I could because it wouldn't open. And I said, "Ma'am, do you know Jesus Christ?" And I prayed with her, and I stayed with her until the EMTs got there. And I learned later that she passed away on the way to the hospital. All three of them had died, and they died in one split second. One moment, driving down a highway, the next moment, they were dead. You know, you think you got time? That's a lie the devil's told you. The devil tells you that you got all the time in the world. And I'm here to tell you, by the blood of Christ and by the knowledge of the Bible, that your time is numbered and your days are numbered and your moments are numbered, and he may call you before you're ready. I've been to a lot of funerals in my life. I've preached several. And the ones I hate the worst are when someone does not share that their relative is a Christian or not a Christian. The people that serve in this church know Jesus Christ. We're going to stand together. We're going to stand together. Come on, stand with me. You've been sitting there, you got tired on me. Some of you even took naps, so that's okay. I raise my hand to God today and I say, "Thank you, Father, for letting me know where I am. Thank you, God, for telling me where I fit in. Thank you, Father, for leading me to your Son so many years ago, that when I stepped into that water and followed you with baptism and let you enter my life and let the Spirit come into me, Father, I thank you for that day in 1965. And I thank you again, Father, renewing my strength in 1971, that, Father, you would give me a call and a purpose through my life. Thank you for that. I thank you, Father, for the body of Christ that I'm a part of here, that these people that are called by your name follow after you and worship you and love you and serve you in the best capacity that they can. And I pray today, God, that if there's somebody here that don't know you, Son Jesus Christ, that hasn't accepted the blood of Christ over their body, over their spirit, over their soul, that, Father, they would come forth right now at this very moment and become a part of the body of Christ. And if there are those here, Father, that don't know where they need to be serving, Father, place into their hearts and into their minds a little bit of information that will help lead them in the right direction. Your body is only as strong, Father, as the weakest member. And Father, I pray that your Holy Spirit would just lift up everyone in this body here today. That, Father, as we leave and go to our homes, that, Lord God, that you would just anoint us with your power and your strength. Give us words of wisdom and knowledge that we might share with a lost and dying world. So, Father, I'm praying today for those that are lost. Let them come to your full knowledge and let them come to be your children. In Christ.